Christmas is in the air here in Rome. A towering Christmas tree stands near the center of St. Peter's Square, and carpenters and technicians are busy putting the finishing touches to a bigger-than-life nativity scene embraced by the Basilica's colonnade. The 25-meter or 82-foot fir tree, decorated with 2,000 lights, comes from the forests of Valbadia in northern Italy. It's 140 years old. Although the nativity scene won't be unveiled until Christmas Eve, you can already catch a glimpse of the buildings that form a backdrop for the Christ child's birth. But this year, there's a twist. In fact, the nativity scene is set in St. Joseph's house and carpentry shop in Nazareth, not in Bethlehem.
Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him Mary as his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called him Jesus.
It was that passage describing Joseph's dream and acceptance of the child Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew that inspired the Vatican's administrative office, or governatorato, to draft the project for this year's nativity scene. The message? The first trusting acceptance of the Christ child and the certainty that Jesus is reborn in the hearts of everyone on every Christmas. Well, all across Italy, in churches and piazzas and in homes, nativity scenes, or presepe as they're called here, have been set up to recall the humble birth of the Savior. Naples has for centuries been the capital of nativity scene making here in Italy, with craftsmen creating elaborate figures, animals, and entire villages out of clay and papier-mâché. Pictures and paintings of the nativity have been around since the very first Christians used them to record Christ's coming. But the tradition of making a three-dimensional presepe dates back to the time of St. Francis of Assisi, who is credited with making the first live nativity scene on a hillside in Umbria, Italy, around the year 1220. Well, I sat down with Elizabeth Lev, professor of Christian art and architecture with Duquesne University, for a fireside chat about the origins of nativity scenes and where some of the most interesting can be found here in Rome.
The first nativity scene as we know it with the different figures was created in 1223 by St. Francis of Assisi in a little town called Greccio, except he wasn't using little plastic figurines. He had people dressed up as Mary and Joseph and the shepherds, and he had them come out and arrange themselves like a little theater piece in front of a gathered crowd, so that people would understand the humility of Christ's birth. Francis had a tremendous devotion to the nativity of Christ, but particularly the humility of the way Christ came into the world. And so, if you imagine Umbria, which is, you know, a hilly place, it gets pretty darn cold. These people standing out there shivering, you know, waiting for this baby to come into the world. It's a better way for people to understand the hardship that Mary and Joseph went through in order to bring God into the world, and that the extraordinary sacrifice from the very beginning on the part of God to not be brought into the world in a nice, comfortable hospital bed with all the things that blip and were not in a nice, warm, comfortable room with beds and blankets, but on the ground in the cold, very vulnerable.
And of course, since the 1200s and that very first nativity scene, it's exploded, really, the practice amongst Christians, Catholics in particular, to have nativity scenes in their homes at Christmas time. When I take my kids to church for the children's mass for Christmas, they reenact the birth of the baby Jesus in the stable in Bethlehem.
It's a very good custom also for people to understand the idea of waiting. Not only was there the custom of putting out a nativity scene in expectation of the birth of Christ, but there used to be figurines put into churches for the period of Lent, these two great periods of the year when Christians prepare themselves. At the time of St. Francis, the period of Advent was seen as a time of purification, of sort of a penitential time with fasting and purification of oneself and activities of repentance in order to be ready at the day the moment came. And those that preparation of putting out the figures of Mary and Joseph, putting the empty manger there that you wait and wait and wait, the sight of the kings who are coming from afar to bring gifts, and you think to yourself, what gift shall I bring? Which of course is yourself. So it's a very, very good and beautiful tradition. The tradition was then picked up in Rome very shortly thereafter with one of the earliest, we have no way of knowing if indeed it's the earliest, but one of the earliest nativity sets is from 1290, and it's contained in St. Mary Major's Basilica here in Rome, and it was made by Arnolfo di Cambio, who was the greatest of the sculptors of his era. He's a contemporary with Giotto, with Pietro Cavallini, and Arnolfo di Cambio, architect, sculptor, was called down by Nicholas IV, who was a Franciscan pope. So continuing the devotion of Francis into the Nativity, he hired a magnificent artist to create the figures of Mary and Joseph and Jesus and the ox and the ass, and they're contained in this church. There's actually a special chapel to them.
I'm not familiar with that one. Is it a colored wooden statue?
What
is
no, it? It's a stone. It's a stone statue, and it's hard to see because they've been taken out of the public. They were taken out of the public view for many years, but then they were moved into the museum of the church, so they are visible to the public. But they were kept for many, many, many years in the chapel, which was built by Pope Sixtus V. And so what everybody sees is the huge ciborium, because it was the adoration chapel for the Blessed Sacrament. But underneath, you can see there's a confessio kind of space underneath, and inside there is a chapel with a little room where the figures used to be. And that's on top of an older room that was part of the older church where Nicholas IV originally put the figures.
And of course, you mentioned St. Mary Major. That's, of course, also the basilica, which has a piece of the relic of the actual crib of the baby Jesus.
One of the names of St. Mary Major is Santa Maria Presepe, Mary of the Manger. And so it alludes to the relic in that church for centuries and centuries and centuries. And as a matter of fact, St. Mary Major was the station church for the Pope. So in the earliest years of the church, the Pope went to St. Mary Major in order to celebrate the birth of our Lord. Then with the arrival of the relic of the crib, it became even more consolidated with that site of Mary, who indeed the church is built to celebrate Mary, Mother of God.
I've seen the reliquary there in the museum of St. Mary Major. It was a big golden looking...
That's the earlier reliquary. And there is actually another more modern reliquary, which was made in the 19th century by Valadier. It was a royal gift, and it was a crystal urn with silver design around it, and the crystal is transparent so that you can look in and see the slats of wood of the crib.
So where is it physically now?
It's physically in the confessio. So again, in that confessio you can actually go down. You can head down the stairs, and then you stand right in front of the big open area, and you see this crystal urn. You look through and you see these simple, darkened, humble pieces of wood. And then if you look in back of you, you see the statue of Pope Pius IX, who is kneeling in prayer before the relic of the crib. So really a lovely reminder of the papacy's own devotion to the Nativity.
And of course, if you go down the stairs into the confessio, it brings immediately to mind the image of the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem, mm-hmm. where you have to go down the few stairs to get into the grotto there, mm-hmm. where Christ was born. You see the star on the actual pavement where the crib used to be.
Excellent, excellent comparison. Really nice image, that this idea of traveling downwards, looking and back in time to that humble, humble spot where the foundation of the church was born.
Is there anything special that happens at St. Mary Major at the time of Christmas?
Well, St. Mary Major always has the most beautiful, most packed masses. It always uses the time of Advent. The St. Mary Major always, as a form of preparation for Advent, they hold a series of concerts, very beautiful sacred music concerts. So these each week, another beautiful piece of music in preparation for the arrival of Christmas.
Elizabeth Lev, professor of Christian art and architecture at Duquesne University's Rome campus.